This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and joining me is Sue Balcom. It's time for another Main Street Eats. Sue, welcome. Thanks.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, Ashley.
So I am underneath a blanket that's stacked up on two chairs in my little radio fort. What's your situation right now?
We're doing a live stream at noon here at the church, and so we've set up a small barrier and a couple of chairs in front of the fireplace. So I took the opportunity to sneak back to our little cave here with my recorders in my phone, and it's dark. I just have a tiny little light on, and I'm feeling pretty cozy and protected at the moment.
Well, this is certainly one of the more interesting recording situations that I have been in. And it's an interesting time to be at home and at grocery stores. So let's talk about stocking the pantry at this time.
Well, I hope I'm not too late with the subject of a well-stocked pantry. However, I did see a Washington Post article today on how it talked about how people should or could only be going to the grocery store once every 2 weeks. And I'm like, once every 2 weeks, man, I think I could probably make the summer with what I got in my house. But there is an art to keeping a well-stocked pantry. And one of the things that you need to know is kind of basic cooking knowledge, I think. I was out at my husband's house before we were married and actually was making cookies, and he did not have cream of tartar or baking soda in his cupboard. And I was flabbergasted because those are two things that you should always have in your cupboard, as well as flour and sugar and brown sugar and a couple other items that we can talk about today.
Yeah, as long as you're not stuck buying only the 50-pound bag of flour that's currently available.
Well, how about this? You should always have probably at least 10 pounds of flour. I mean, sometime you'll get the urge to make chocolate chip cookies, right? So yeah. I don't know if it's grown up on a farm or what, but they never went to town. I've been talking with my dad, who's on quarantine in a Heritage Center assisted living place in Jamestown. And I asked him about my brother's birthday, which was in December. And he said that he took my mom to the hospital on a Monday, went to pick her up on a Friday, brought her and the child home to the farm, and they didn't leave again till April. So when you think about that, you had to be prepared. And that's basically what a well-stocked pantry will do for you, is you'll be prepared to find a recipe, walk over to your cupboard, open the doors, and say, I got all what I need to make that recipe. If you don't, that's where you can become a creative cook, by substitutions.
Well, let's talk about that substitution, because, yeah, maybe you have 50 pounds of flour and you have all the yeast you could ever want. And then what happens? Oh, I don't know. We'll be easy. We'll start with an easy one. Something calls for buttermilk.
Well, that would be regular whole milk, if you have whole milk, which I don't think skim milk tastes like milk at all. So, and I always have whole milk, and it's from the farm. And you can make that substitution by simply putting a teaspoon of vinegar in that cup of milk, and it will turn sour very quickly. And you can use that as sour milk or buttermilk in any recipe like biscuits that calls for sour milk. Because I know a lot of people probably wouldn't have sour cream on hand, but we have things like, let's start in the baking department. We always have flour and regular white sugar, but we also have brown sugar, honey, powdered sugar, Karo syrup, maple syrup, you know, things like that, that you can switch out if you're careful about how you do it. And then, of course, you've got to have lots of spices like ginger and cloves and cardamom and anise and cinnamon and vanilla. And, of course, chocolate chips. And if you'll notice, you've got to have chocolate chips or good baking chocolate. That stuff never spoils, right? And that's the key to having a well-stocked pantry, is that you just keep things in there that do not spoil. Now, my husband has always given me the business about having an abundance of toilet paper and paper towels and, you know, 20 cans of some kind of condensed soup and a 20-pound bag of rice and 25 pounds of flaxseed in the house. Like, he's always like, what are you doing that for? Well, guess what? Now he knows, because we don't have to run to the store all the time, because we keep these things on hand kind of as part of our normal life. Now, if you don't have room for all this stuff, I can see where a little bit of sharing with your kids or your neighbors would come in handy, because as you know, when you buy things in bulk, they're also less expensive. And therefore, you could split a 25-pound bag of flour or a 25-pound bag of sugar amongst the neighbors, and then keep them in some well-sealed jars. You know, like I use a lot of those half-gallon Kerr jars that they make, and or old Tupperware that people have given me over the years to keep things sealed up. If you have freezer space, that'd be a good place to keep some of your grains and things like that, because the oil in like whole wheat would eventually get bad on you. You know, an oil will get rancid after a while. So any oily seed might also, unless you keep it in the freezer.
Yeah, let's talk about that storage element. Obviously, typically we want cool, we want dark. What are some other common pantry things that we might need to be aware of for long-term storage? I know honey, maple syrup, you can, you know, pretty much just throw anywhere and they'll be okay. But some things don't shouldn't be exposed to light, for example.
Like your spices. That's one thing that you want to keep out of the light for sure, and away from the top of your stove. You don't want them near heat or light. And I think most everything in a pantry would greatly benefit from not being exposed to light. It would be great to have an area like a root cellar or someplace like that where you would keep things cool, dark. You want to be careful that your containers are so that the varmints can't get into them. Now, my dad used to always tell me that when the flour got bugs in it back in the day, that meant it was a good year for wheat. So your flour, after a while, if it's organic in particular, will maybe have some insect eggs in it, but they won't show up for like a really long time. And you should not be fearful about using your flour unless you find activity in there. Like, or if you forget an avocado in your flour bin, that's bad.
Yeah.
So, in addition to the dry things that a person has in their cupboard, like spices and syrups, you always want to have things like shortening, cooking oils, and savory spices like cayenne pepper, paprika, oregano, cumin, vinegar, salt, and pepper. And then lots of things like dried pasta and rice. I love frika, which is a shaved green wheat that you can eat just about like rice. And so these things, even if you only have a pound or two of them in nice containers in your cupboard, you should be able to mix and match a few of these things. And really, if you were in a situation of a blizzard where you didn't have 3 days worth of food in your house and it something, you know, wasn't working right and you couldn't get to town, you'd be able to still feed your family.
What about, so a lot of the ingredients you've mentioned have been really helpful for mostly baking, but a little bit of cooking as well. But let's talk about more sort of the main course. If you are going to be stocking, especially if you have freezer space, what do you recommend?
Freezers are blessing, aren't they? We have a great big upright in our garage, and there you should put basic things like ground beef, chicken breasts, maybe some sausage, always bacon, because you could go on a completely meatless, quote unquote, meatless diet if you just had a few things to flavor your other foods like bacon or sausage or maybe some ground beef once in a while. We don't eat a lot of steak. I don't really care for steak, but I will use it to put in my soups and things like that. So even if you have a small freezer space, a little bit of meat will help you flavor the other foods that you're eating. And of course, round steak is a good cut of meat to have in your freezer, because you can use that for stroganoff. You can use it for chicken fried steak. You can make Salisbury steak out of it. Just all kinds of things. Cut it up or leave it whole. You can make shish kebabs if the weather's as nice as it's been lately. And grill it outside with some of the things that you keep in your refrigerator that store well.
So how do you make sure that you don't get freezer burn?
Usually you want to eat your meat products up within 6 months. However, they have been double wrapping my meat from the butcher lately, and so we've eaten it a year old already. But what you want to do definitely, if you're going to the grocery store, don't just freeze it in those trays with the plastic wrapped around them. You'll want to definitely rewrap those with maybe aluminum foil and then stick them inside a Ziploc bag. That will really, really cut down on that freezer burn. Another thing that's really helpful is if you were to keep your items that you are storing for a long, long time in the back of your freezer, and the things that you use more often in the front, because every time you open that door, you're allowing some of that coolness to leave. And then, of course, if the front of your freezer is warm and the back is cold, it causes that condensation. So you should never keep good cuts of meat in the door of your freezer. You know, you should keep, you know, maybe your bacon would work in the door of your freezer. Or I keep vegetable scraps that I use for soup and my blueberries for smoothies in my freezer door so that I'm not digging in the main part of the freezer when I'm making a breakfast in the morning.
How about with limiting the time that we are spending at the grocery store and the amount of times that we go there? What are a couple good options for fresh still, but a little bit longer lasting than, you know, maybe a banana?
Right. Even though I do put my black bananas in the freezer and I use those in my smoothies when we don't eat them fast enough. But a well-stocked pantry always has potatoes, onions, celery, cabbage, and it can be red cabbage, green cabbage, Napa cabbage. You know, cruciferous vegetables really last a long time in the refrigerator. And you have to be able to take those out of the plastic. Well, okay, first of all, potatoes and onions should never be stored next to each other. And they should never be put in the refrigerator. But your celery and cabbage, broccoli lasts a long time. Cauliflower lasts a long time. My daughter sewed some organic cotton bags with fold-over tops on. And you wet those bags under the faucet and squeeze out the excess water. And then you put your vegetables in there and put them in your veggie tray at the bottom of your refrigerator. And you would be amazed at how much longer they last because of the humidity. Carrots last a long time. Peppers will last a long time. But the real secret to this is to buy them as close to the ground as possible, meaning that if you have a local grocery store that maybe carries more regional and local in-season vegetables, my peppers from my garden will last 3 or 4 times as long as any from the grocery store, because you're not transporting them for a week or two before they get to the grocery store. Apples will last a long time. Oranges will last a long time. Avocados will last a long time unless you ripen them on your counter first, like I do most of the time. And then they have to be eaten right away, which is not a bad thing in my mind.
And there are, of course, some shelf-stable milks out there. A lot of nut milks and other things don't necessarily need to be kept in the fridge and can be kept in the pantry. Otherwise, you have just a couple more quickly tips for common substitutions. We just barely touched on that buttermilk one.
Well, you know, you can use, If you have canned tomatoes or catsup, you know, you can replace tomato products. You can intersperse them. If you're using something that has more liquid in it than not, you'll want to accommodate for that in your overall recipe. But when I talk about substituting, it's kind of like if a spaghetti recipe calls for 5 different spices in the sauce and you only have 3 of the 5. By all means, don't let that stop you from throwing something else in there, like maybe a little cayenne pepper instead of black pepper. Hmm. Or, you know, be a little brave when you experiment or leave something out once in a while. I've actually found that the recipes on the backs of cans are a good place to learn how to cook. Like if you're in the grocery store and you pick up a can of enchilada sauce and you're like, I have no idea what to do with this. I've found that there's a fabulous chicken and cream cheese enchilada recipe on the back of that can that we make quite often. Which reminds me, you've got to have cheese in your pantry, like all kinds of cheese. I think we have no less than 6 pounds of cheese in our refrigerator and 6 or 7 dozen eggs at any given time. Because if you're really, really hungry, you can always make frittata, which is whatever leftover greens you have, like kale, onions, carrots, little bacon, chop those up, throw them in a pan, toss some eggs and milk over the top of it, and ta-da, Parmesan cheese or some Swiss on the top, and you have a really great meal for your family. Cooking is fun, and now people are really, really, really considering doing more cooking since we're all kind of staying at home these days.
All right, Sue. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Stay safe.
Sue Balcom joins us once a week for Main Street Eats.